What breaks your heart spiritually? Anything at all? In Romans 9 and 10, Paul is crushed with unceasing grief for his own people, Israel. And today we're asking, who makes you grieve like that? And are you praying for them by name? In a world of rising anti-Semitism and confusion, we'll rediscover God's everlasting love for Israel, the calling of the church as his bride, and how a Christ-like burden for both Jews and Gentiles can reshape our prayers, our politics, and our everyday conversations. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. I am so glad it is Monday and it's February and we are heading into spring. Can you guys feel it? Can you feel it warming up just slightly? I hope it's not that type of weather where it's in like a lamb and out like a lion, but we'll see here in just a few moments. Hey, we're going to go into a new series called Israel, the Church, and God's Sovereignty. And if you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app. It really does help us in the algorithms. We know that if you put a comment, it helps us probably the most because it just brings us to the top so people can discover this information faster and they can dive into the Word of God with us. So what kind of comment can you make? You can say, hey, let's defend Washington, or I'm listening from Grandview, Washington, or I'm listening from Wenatchee or Colville, or you know, wherever you're listening from. And so that really will help us out. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your generosity. We are grateful to you and know that we can keep material like this coming out. So we are going to be handling a subject over the next 30 or 40 days about Israel, the church, and God's sovereignty. And it's by no mistake that God has us here at this time, at this place, in the Word of God. You know, it's in Romans chapters 9, 10, 11. There's so much anti-Semitic behavior that's happening in Washington State and around the world and in the United States. Some have in their minds that the church has replaced Israel. Some have in their minds that somehow we're trying to clean up our country and our state so that Jesus will come back. And we just want to dispel a lot of those things in this series. And we're going to read the scriptures, and then we're just going to do what the scriptures say for us to do. So let's dive in. Today's part of the series is Paul's sorrow. He says, Paul says, I'm telling you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have a great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. So that was Romans 9, 1 through 2, and then Romans 10, verse 1. So whose spiritual condition makes you grieve, like Paul? And are you praying for them by name? So look at this really close. He says, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. And then what does he say here in verse 10 or chapter 10, verse 1? Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer is to God for them, Israel, or the Jews, is their salvation. Okay, so this is Paul's heart, and this is what Paul is grieving him. So do you have a loved one, a love for Israel, or do you have a love for the Jews? And what do I mean by that? So we need to both have a love for Israel and a love for the Jews. And so we're going to look at some scriptures where God tells us that his covenant with Israel is an everlasting covenant, that he loves the nation of Israel, he loves the Jewish people, and that he cares for us. So we want to stir up a Christ-like burden for the lost, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and your prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good. So we need to be praying as born again, Christ-filled, Holy Spirit-filled believers for the peace of Jerusalem. And we need to reject every anti-Semitic statement, behavior, replacement theology that would try to say otherwise, that somehow, that some way, the church has replaced Israel. God has been abundantly clear. He has a beloved nation, and he has a beloved bride. And the church is the bride, and Israel is the nation. So we need to also be stirring up a Christ-like burden for the lost and praying for the apple of God's eye. Zechariah says this, "For thus says the Lord God of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you," and this is referring to Israel, "touches the apple of his eye." Now, I just ate a Granny Smith apple, a big Granny Smith apple, right before I came on air here. And that was so delicious. But the apple of our eye is really that thing that we behold, right? That thing that we love, that thing that we are dear. So the Granny Smith apple isn't the apple of my eye. Tanya, my wife, is the apple of my eye. I behold her. She's very precious to me. And so when we touch the nation of Israel, whether we plunder her or try to divide her land or try to do anything of the such, we touch the apple of God's eye. "For behold, I will wave my hand over them so that they will be plundered for their slaves. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me." So God's going to defend Israel, the apple of his eye. Now, you may not like that. You may not like the fact that God has a nation that he has picked, that he has chosen, that he has foreknown, that he has predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. But the last time I checked, you're not God, I'm not God, we're not God, and we can't change the word of God to fit our current context. Ever since May 14th, 1948, Israel was reinstated as a nation. And historically, in the land of Canaan, Abraham was promised the land, and it was a much larger footprint than what we see right now. I think they only have like 1/10 of what Abraham was promised. This covenant is an everlasting covenant with Abraham, and they are God's apple of his eye. So we need to be like Paul. We need to have a sorrow, a burden for those who are lost in Israel. Let's go up. "Stirring up a Christ-like burden for the lost and praying for the Jewish remnant." So we're going to go back to Romans here for a second. I'll probably cover these verses a number of times, which is fine. It'll be my pleasure to remind you and to remind myself of God's love for Israel. So Paul says, "I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he?" So his whole premise of his question is, has God rejected Israel? "May it never be. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." Now, in case you're wondering, when he says his people, he says, no. I'm going to go back to my ancestral background. And Paul is very, very clearly proclaiming that his Jewish roots, him being an Israelite, him being a descendant of Abraham, him being of the tribe of Benjamin, he's saying to those people, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. "Or do you not know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? And the Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life." But what is the divine response to Elijah? So even Elijah was arguing the very fact about Israel and their behavior. And this is what we hear so much in the public square today, is people will say, "Look how ungodly Israel is. Look how they've done this and that." And oftentimes when you ask that next question, what have they done specifically, people are unable to go to that next level, that next statement of what they've done specifically. And if they do, if they pick up something like the genocide in Gaza, they usually haven't read the news or had local people or local events telling you the actual truth. They've listened to information from Hamas or from terrorist providers of information. And so they have false information. But Elijah is saying, "Hey, look at their behavior." And you're going to, if you haven't read the book of Ezekiel, you need to do it, because once you have read that, you will understand salvation in a greater way. You were not saved because of your great behavior. Jewish people are not saved because of their great behavior. They are saved by faith through grace, period. And just like Abraham was saved. And Romans 11:4 says, but what does the divine response say, Elijah? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. So think about that for a moment. God has a remnant. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. God always has a remnant in the land of Israel. Those who know that Yeshua is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah. And this is incredibly, incredibly important that we take a stand as Christians and pray for and have the sorrow as Paul had for Paul, his fellow Israelites, his fellow people, God's holy nation and chosen nation. For us as the bride, as Gentiles, as Christians, we should love our Jewish roots. Just to kindly remind you, Jesus is a Jew. Your Messiah is a Jew. And the Jews did not kill Jesus. Our sin put him on that cross. And he willingly laid down his life for your sin and for my sin. So we need to stir up a Christ-like burden for the lost and pray for the Gentile nations as well. So whether it is the Jewish nation of Israel stirring up a sorrow and a Christ-like burden for those Jews who do not know the Messiah yet, or it's for the Gentile nations. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So Jesus has all authority given to him. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Did you notice what he just said there? Make disciples of all the nations, plural. This is one of the reasons why, so this is a side note, not really within this, why we can't support open borders as Christians. A global economy and a global boundaryless, I don't know if that's even a word, but nation is not a nation at all. God has divided us into nations. That's how he has it put together. And what does he want? He wants us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. And he wants us to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. So Jesus has commanded us to go into every nation, every tribe, every people group, and proclaim the name of Jesus, making disciples of all the nations, and teaching them to observe all that he's commanded. We need a burden for the lost, to have sorrow in our heart as Paul had for his fellow brethren of Israel. And what is God's command? It's not burdensome. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. We need to stir up Christ-like burden for the lost and pray for the power of God to fall fresh. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So, just a side note here, but I want to point out to you very clearly, Jerusalem is where? The nation of Israel. Judea, nation of Israel. Samaria, it's moving out, but it's still Israel. And even to the remotest parts of the earth, us, the United States of America. He wants the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon both his nation and his bride. He wants the whole thing to be encompassed in there. And so to really walk in that, even in Acts chapter 1, New Testament scripture referring back to Old Testament things, that we are to start locally and move out. This is why it's so, I don't know if I want to say insane, ignorant, stupid. I'm not sure what the language would be. But for Christians to be anti-Semitic is an oxymoron. It does not go together. Our faith has Jewish roots. You gotta get over it. Right here, once again, the nation of Israel is expressed. We didn't replace anything. We are the bride, which the bride includes both Jew, Gentile, Greek, barbarian. At the foot of the cross, everything is neutral. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, you might say. But he also has a nation, and that nation is God's nation. In fact, did you know that in the Old Testament? I'll go over this in the future, but that land that God has chosen, that there have been endless wars over, God declares is his land. Isn't that powerful? When the bride comes back with Jesus, we will go back to his land, the land of Israel. So you better get over it and become very informed about the scriptures and to move from ignorance to being informed. So we need to stir up Christ-like burden for the lost and pray for God's love to go out around the world. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him, Jesus, have eternal life. Moses, a Jew. Son of Man, a Jew. I'm just pointing this out. You have Jewish roots, and we've got to break this down. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, Yeshua, that whoever believes in him, Jesus, Yeshua, shall not perish but have eternal life. Look at that. God loves the nation of Israel, loves his people, loves the world. For God did not send his Son into the world. Side note, he sent him to Israel. He didn't send him to New York, or he didn't send him to Washington, D.C. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in Jesus is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. I want to give a side note here before I go on. Some of us as Christ followers, we're perplexed about how people can hate the nation of Israel or hate ICE or people enforcing our laws. But please remember that when there was Barabbas and there was Jesus on trial, the spirit of Antichrist that wanted a murderer to be set free, Barabbas, that same spirit is in the world today. And it says this right here: for everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So we want to be people who have in our hearts a stirred up love for our neighbor, a stirred up love for God, a stirred up love for the Gentile people or the Gentile nations, a stirred up love for the Jewish nation. It doesn't have to be either or. We need to love both. We need to love and ask that the gospel message would go into both areas. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. So what's our application? Have you stirred up a Christ-like burden for the lost? Are you praying for the peace of Jerusalem? Are you praying that the Jewish people come to know Jesus Christ as their Messiah? My hope is that would be your prayer today. Maybe you're walking into your workplace today and there happens to be an Orthodox Jew that works there, or a, a Reformed Jew that works there. Have a conversation. Not out of spite or anger, but out of deep love. Discover their values. Discover where they are. Understand them. Maybe there's some Gentiles in your workplace today, and you've never thought of it that way, but the fact is God loves them so very, very, very much. Have you discovered where they are, what their story is? How is God trying to encounter them on the road? How is God trying to speak to their hearts and to their minds? Whose spiritual condition makes you grieve like Paul? And are you praying for them by name? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we know that as we come into this podcast each and every day, that we're changing our hearts so that we change the public square. Lord, would you change us from the inside out, oh God? Would you shape us? Give us a love for the Jewish people. God, give us a love for those that do not know you in the nation of Israel. God, we ask that you would draw them through their dreams and through their Old Testament scriptures and through the Word of God to you. God, if there's any way that we can help, let us know that as well. Lord, we lift up the Gentile nations. We lift up our nation, the nation of the United States of America, and we pray that people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ today. We come down to Washington State and we pray for an awakening in Olympia. We pray that Bob Ferguson will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that many of his party would become on fire for you, God, that they would love you and surrender their hearts to you. Holy Spirit, would you give us divine power to walk in the ways that you have for us today? That you love your nation, the nation of Israel, that you love your bride, the church, and that God, you are sovereign over all of us. We pray for the Jewish remnant. Give them boldness and courage to lead their own to you. God, give us special encounters today. Break our hearts with the things that break your heart, God. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.